Okay, so today I'm sitting here talking to Asif Premji. He is the general manager over at Okotoks Honda, a family-owned business. Him personally has been in the auto industry about 10 years. So Asif, why don't you kind of introduce yourself? Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you kind of do at the store and what your role is.
Awesome. First and foremost, thanks, Ryan, for giving me a shout and doing this and taking advantage of this opportunity. I've been in the industry for about 10 years, and Asif Premji is my name as the general manager here at Okotoks Honda. We've had ownership of the store for over 15 years now. We used to be at High River Honda, and we obviously moved into the Okotoks market just to gain a little bit more of a market share, get closer to Calgary, and take care of our local clients as well as our community clients. So that's what I've been doing so far over the past 10 years.
Perfect. Okay, just, you know, if we kind of start talking on the social media or the digital, because you work inside of a dealership, it's really cool because you do that, you know, every day, day in, day out, and you see it from, you know, inside the dealership out. So it's a little different if I was to talk to, say, a Kijiji or an Auto Trader about, you know, the dealership, because they kind of have a outside-in perspective. So could you just kind of tell me, you know, a little bit about the challenges that you guys have using those kind of platforms, and, you know, from the dealer perspective, you know, how have and have they not kind of helped you?
Well, I think if you take a look at social media, social marketing and networking from different angles, I mean, you take a look at it from ground level here at the store, most of management is on the social media platform, whether it be through Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. And we've been able to converse and engage with fans and followers through those platforms. But the challenge we have is some people are not versed in the social media side. So it's the ability of getting them to see the value and the benefit of just engaging. It doesn't have to be selling, doesn't have to be talking about all the incentives and promo that Honda or manufacturers have, but more about creating, connecting, and cultivating relationships online and having the ability of creating strangers and making friends with them. And that's one of the challenges we have here at the store. Now, if you take a look at it from an outside perspective, the public, I think we underestimate them to a certain degree, where they are out there and they are talking about their experiences and how they're starting their process in buying a car or servicing a car. And I think we as dealers need to catch on to that a little bit more, because that's a perfect opportunity for us to engage and communicate with them and make sure they're taken care of, rather than then just venting and expressing their sentiments to an open space and no one reacting to it other than normal other public who can actually make it worse or make it better.
Perfect, perfect. You know, you can let me know if you agree with me on this, but, you know, doing research in the auto industry, it shows that buyers are often researching 3 to 6 months out of actually purchasing that vehicle, which means that by the time they actually get into your showroom, sometimes they know more about the specific model than even the sales consultants themselves. Would you agree with that?
Wholeheartedly, Gary. I've said it before and I've said it again, that we underestimate the clients. The clients more often than not know a lot more about our products, a lot more about our competition, and a lot more about the process before even we do.
Okay, so now if we translate that down into you're a dealer and you have, you know, customer A that comes in, what would you say are some of the challenges that you, you know, maybe your sales manager and then maybe the sales consultant themselves actually find with that? So, you know, somebody walks in, it's hi ma'am, hi sir, you know, boom, like how has that changed kind of the qualifying process, so to speak?
Well, it's more, you know, to be honest, the challenge is understanding that they're not coming in to find the right car for them. They already know what they're wanting. It's the possibility or the opportunity of finding someone who they trust. So the biggest challenge is creating that relationship or cultivating that relationship from the moment the customer walks in and letting them know that it's not about the car, it's not about the price, it's not about the metal, but it's more about the relationship and the experience as a whole. And that's what we at the dealership focus on more about. Price will come, service will come, experience will come, but it's more about delivering the wow the moment they walk in, so they can trust the salesperson, they can trust the management and the process along with it. And that's the challenge, because there are so many resources and there's so many tools and there's so many books out there that consumers have access to of how to buck the system so that we are we're in a position where we have to start thinking a little bit more of how to gain the customer's trust. Where if you go 10 years ago, it was all about the car. I want a car, I want this payment, so forth and so on. But most of that stuff is already done online 3 to 6 months out. They're just wanting to meet someone who they can trust that they can give their money to so they can complete a transaction. And that's the challenge, is focusing more on the wow and focusing more on the experience and the relationship than all the other stuff.
Perfect, perfect. What would be some things, I mean, you know, as you know and as I know, and, you know, the whole car market or car industry doesn't have the best reputation as far as, you know, consumers walking in and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to get a great deal on a car. A lot of people, you know, sometimes will assume the worst. I don't play a gender role here or anything, but, you know, if we were to turn it over into the female's role, if I'm a female and I'm walking into your store, or somebody who, say, doesn't even have any car experience, meaning, you know, they don't know anything about an engine, or they don't know anything about price, or they don't know anything in general, and they just literally want to buy a new vehicle, what would be some, like, literally some good tips for those people to do prior to even walking into a store to ensure that they can negotiate the best price and come out with what they want?
So to a consumer, my tip would be is, you know, look online, and I've always said to, I'm a big review kind of guy, and I love looking at reviews online with whatever purchase I make. So me personally, let's leave automotive industry aside, Ryan, I like to give money to someone that I can trust. And that's not in the store, but a virtual showroom online. So I take a look at reviews. I take a look at what people are saying about them. I actually look on Facebook and Twitter and see what kind of activities that they're focusing on. And that's how I'm able to develop a trust in the virtual world. So my tip to a consumer would be is, yeah, there's tons of opportunities and there's tons of resources and dealers that exist in the marketplace. But start the homework online and at home. Take a look at virtual dealerships. Go onto the website and take a look at pictures. Do you see snow on vehicles when you're in summer? Take a look at some reviews on Google Reviews or on Dealer Raider. Take a look at YouTube and see if they're actively promoting not only cars, but actively promoting education. You know, a lot of people want to know how to do their own change on their own. And are we as a dealer promoting that and allowing that customer to do it, or are we forcing them to come back to the dealership? So those are some kind of tips. You know, I mean, we can talk about a lot more in detail, but
yeah,
those are some simple steps that I would tell consumers to do is, you know, focus more about the relationship and feel the trust with a person and a dealer before we even get talking into price, because the relationship and the trust is not there, mm-hmm. and the price is irrelevant.
Now, kind of going back into the, you know, industry itself, I mean, you, me, I've heard this a million times, unfortunately, and every time I hear it, it just makes me cringe, but I would say, out of, say, if we had 100 dealers, only maybe 10, which means 10%, are actually embracing the digital world.
Yep.
But if we go into the consumer level, honestly, the numbers are almost reversed, which means that maybe only 10% literally aren't embracing it. So the way people are buying vehicles or making purchase, and you're right, we're not even talking about the auto industry. We're talking about purchases in general, real estate, cars, heck, you know, groceries, coffee, whatever. People are getting online and they are talking about your product and your service. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, would you agree with that?
I 100% agree. I mean, we've experienced it here at the dealership where we've been able to embrace the social media and the social networking side, where consumers were talking about Honda. They were talking about their frustration at another store. They were expressing their or venting how the car is so dirty and they want to get a detail, but they don't know where to go to just because there's so many options. And so when they're talking about this, no one's responding. Then at some point they're like, well, okay, I'm not getting anything here. I got to go to another level. But if you're there and you can respond to them and guide them through the process, we'd be astonished with the amount of results that we get. I mean, we at the store, like I told you, we sold 10 to 13 cars over Twitter without even meeting people before they even got to the store.
Wow.
And it wasn't about the car. It wasn't about the price. It wasn't about anything like that. It was strictly about the fact that someone reached out for assistance to listen to them and guide them through a process that they felt comfortable with. And it was trust right off the get-go.
So once again, it all comes back to engagement.
Oh yeah, I've developed a system at the store where it's called a 3C, where you connect, create and cultivate every relationship that you encounter. So whether it's someone online or you're someone that walks in, focus on the three C's. Connect with them, create it, and then cultivate that relationship and let them know that you're there for them and not for anything else. And the moment you do that, you'll be astonished at the amount of referrals, the amount of word of mouth or advertising you get, and by chance you might get service or a car sale out of it. And if you don't get a car sale right off the bat, I will guarantee them that you'll get a car sale at some point within 6 to 12 months if you keep the relationship cultivated.
Yeah. What are some of the things now, if we kind of focus back on the dealer side? Yeah. Obviously, you still got, you know, just some straight old school people in the industry, which is great. And then you kind of got the hybrid, which is kind of saying, hey, you know, I see what's going on here, but I haven't quite taken that plunge. And then you got the people who are, you know, in, you know, say yours and mine age bracket, where we're like, hey, we grew up with this stuff. I feel old now. If you've ever been to an elementary school lately, Asif, I mean, you got people, the teachers like, okay, guys, pull out your Kindles, pull out your iPads. And I mean, for me, I didn't even have that in school. So I'm starting to feel old, even though I'm not. But what are some of the ways you've got your staff to embrace social media, digital, trader, you know, mobile apps? Like, how have you actually changed your culture in your store? Or especially, you know, you guys have had this for 15 years. So yeah. 15 years ago, this stuff didn't even exist. So
right.
over the course of time, what have you done to kind of change the culture?
Well, I think you have a two-pronged approach. We've talked hands-on, we've hands-on given them the why and not the how. So we've explained them the why social media and social networking is so important. So they understand the why. But, you know, when you're talking about hands-on training, sometimes it gets lost in translation. So we've actually brought companies from outside who have come in and explained to them the benefits of social media and social marketing.
Mm.
Not from a perspective of automotive industry, but just the concept of social media and social networking.
Mm.
So 2 weeks ago, I did a hands-on training, and I told them that, you know, I gave them an example. I ordered socks online. I love my socks, and so I ordered socks online. I did an online purchase. I never knew this company before in my life, and I was going on a trip, and I was hoping to have these socks before I left on a trip. Typically, we would do is we put the shipping in, and we wait for these socks to come in, and that's it, and we pay extra money for overnight express if that's the case. This company did, and I explained to the staff that, hey, if you go online and you express the fact that you would like to get something done, whether you get it or not is irrelevant. Just express the sentiment. And I did that to this company. Lo and behold, they sent an overnight express to me, to my home, and they didn't even charge me for it, and they have my full loyalty for the rest of my life. And it's those type of examples that I like to train the sales staff with, because it's not about, and it wasn't about the socks, and it wasn't about my trip. It was the fact that I asked for something and see if it was doable, and they surprised me by shipping it overnight at no cost to me. And those are the type of examples that actually create some type of engagement and dialogue here at the store.
Wow. You know, that's a true testament. I mean, sometimes the biggest thing is just to listen to your customer, you know, just simply listen. Kind of moving forward with the social media, you know, with the digital, the lack of other dealerships kind of participating or embracing that, has that maybe, you know, from your guys' perspective, given you a slight edge? For instance, earlier in the conversation, you brought up of, you know, another dealer, maybe another Honda dealer, and how somebody was displeased with maybe their service or their sales.
Yeah.
I mean, you as a general manager, this is like great content. You'd 15 years ago, you'd have to pay for this, which is something called like a consensus group, but you're hearing what people are saying about your brand or your competitor's brand for free, just by like plugging in and listening. So when you're kind of getting your game plan ready, like do you take some of this information and kind of use it to strategize?
Yeah, of course we do, man. You know, I mean, I've always said that the first foot in the door, you'll always see something that the 10th person won't see. And we've had the advantage of listening for so long, and we've learned. You know, I mean, we've got the social media breakfasts in town, and we've got a whole bunch of meetups that happen in regards to tips and tricks of the networking and digital age.
Mm-hmm.
We've utilized that here at the store, whether it be specific targeted hashtags, whether it be search tags, whether it be following the community in such an event in such a way where we get the engagement back from the consumer. Where if I talked to ABC Motor about doing that, they'd be they'd be lost because they don't even know what we're referring to. And you need to know the lingo, you need to know the terminology, you need to know how everything works so you can connect everything. So yeah, I think we have an advantage. Do I say it's a far advantage? No, but I think we have a great advantage versus other dealers who haven't embraced it because people are talking out there. And if we don't talk, someone else will listen, and we will lose our market share, or we'll lose them as a consumer. Whether they're your own clients or they're someone else's, you got to be there to listen to them.
Now, this is my last question. I get asked this question all the time is, basically, by being on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or YouTube or Tumblr, whichever, social media, tool you choose to use, a lot of dealers, not even just automotive, just company owners in general say, hey, if I get on these things, I'm kind of scared because what if we make a mistake and somebody just starts, yelling at us or bad mouthing us on Facebook or Twitter? Or furthermore, what if our competition starts seeing what we're doing and they try to do it? What would be your response to this?
I said, if someone starts talking to you online in a negative connotation, good. That's great. That's awesome for the company because it shows to the consumer and to the public that we're not perfect. No company in this world is perfect. We all have downfalls. We all make mistakes. We always have sand that falls to the fingertips. So the consumer that expresses their negative or their dissatisfied sentiment, to run away from it is doing more harm than addressing it online. And we've dealt with it again at the store where we did something on Facebook, our customer didn't like it, and rather than just deleting the post or, ignoring it completely, we tackled it, we were able to explain to the consumer, and we were able to mitigate the situation. So if consumers are saying things online, that's not a problem because we are human and we're a business. We're not going to be perfect. So long as you understand and you improve from those failures and those mistakes, then you're golden. And if someone and another dealership capitalizes on it and they're able to satisfy that consumer, great. At least we've kept them in the market share and that we haven't lost them.
That's perfect. Yeah, no, that's perfect. I preach transparency. That's all the questions I actually have, Asif. I mean, is there anything else you kind of like to add, industry, out of industry to this?
No, I think the biggest thing is right now we live in a world where sharing information and sharing knowledge is key to growth. And if we as businesses and consumers, whether it's B2B or B2C, however you want to look at it, if we're in a position that we can engage, we can create dialogue and share information and knowledge so that we can make the space a little bit more friendlier rather than walls up, then it'll make things a lot more easier for the consumer side as well as the business side. The moment we start to be non-transparent and hold everything close to our chest without sharing and providing knowledge and wisdom, I think we'll get to a point where it's going to be competition wholeheartedly and full throttle rather than helping dealers grow, helping dealers or helping businesses flourish and be successful in their own world, in their own digital space. So share information and be knowledgeable about it and don't be hesitant to have others utilize your strengths and your successes, because if that's the case, then you're doing a good job and they're going to do a good job. So
that's a great way of looking at it. Well, thank you so much for your time as always. Fantastic chat. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Ryan, and I appreciate the opportunity.